So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les?
What?
This is
Les Thatcher. Welcome to the 2007 version of WKRP in Cincinnati, and with my co-host, who will give you the hog futures here in a moment, Les Nessman. And if we ever get on time, actually, if we get on in time, I'll think I'm on the wrong show on the wrong day.
You know, it's a good thing that I was talking about, it was another slow news week, sort of.
It was, technically speaking.
Technically speaking,
well,
of course.
Technically, it's always a slow week at Wrestling Weekly. I think we may have the only sound equipment that's probably older than I am.
It's possible.
Yes, it is. And those of you listening that are still here who actually didn't look at your watch and say, okay, maybe they're not going to be on tonight, Doc will either check his equipment out before we start this clown act next week, or he'll be doing this
absolutely
show solo.
But at least
we can't hear him.
They did get to enjoy lots of great wrestling entrance themes, though, in the meantime.
Okay, well, see, all I hear is some buzzing, like from the Twilight Zone. So I couldn't tell you what those lucky enough to hear anything other than that buzzing are hearing. So anyway, let's start off
the way we've started off every show in the last month, I think.
It seems almost. A friend of mine emailed me, and he said, this may be the first weekend that somebody hasn't passed away. But, last Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, whatever it was, Arnold Skolin passed away at age 82. I didn't know Arnold well, but God, he's been a fixture in the business for years and years. He was still into his 70s working in the office. Oh, I shouldn't say in the office as such, but on the road. Actually, I met him at, I think it was at a Raw show here in Cincinnati. I don't know how many years ago. We never worked. No, I'll take that back. I met him in Vegas. And for the National Wrestling Alliance convention, probably back in the 70s. But anyway, he was, he worked for, I guess, what, three or four generations of McMahons.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess, who would be Vincent Kay's grandfather.
Right.
Arnold was an intricate part of the business and actually owned a part of WWWF or Capital Sports or the name of the company was previous to Vince Jr.
Yeah, Capital Sports Corp.
Yeah, exactly. So, and a solid worker, and then of course they always used a manager for their babyface champions. He was Backlund's manager. He was San Martino's manager, and so forth. But a nice guy. You know, what little time I spent with the guy seemed like a real nice guy, and obviously, from what everybody says, was a very class gentleman. So.
And definitely, I would say, you know, one of the biggest moments of Skolin's career was, well, one of the most recognizable moments was, of course, the night he threw in the towel for Backlund to have him lose the world championship.
Uh-huh. That is something, I guess, that a lot of people do remember.
That was, he lost it to Iron Sheik that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, well, I guess what, a year later, Hulkamania?
Was it a year later? I don't know how it sounds to say this. You know, I don't keep track of a lot of those things.
Yeah.
I honestly do not. And I used to apologize profusely all the time to people, but not. They'd say, I remember this match you were in, and I'd say, okay.
Right.
But, you know, then a friend of mine pointed out something to me, too. He said, you know, it's your job. Of course, you, you, you probably don't remember. And he said, you know, if you go, if you ask your plumber, you know, what he did on, what kind of plumbing work he did 2 years ago yesterday,
right,
he won't be able to tell you.
Right, and this was something that Rosie was talking about a few weeks ago on the show.
You don't, you know, the guys really immersed in the thing don't, you know, with the exception, my good friend J.J. Dillon is, I used to think I had an eye for detail, and Jim is more anal about it than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he honestly is. But anyway, now he keeps a record. You want to know what he made, a payoff, or whatever town he might have worked in 1974 on such shit? He'll tell you.
Does he have one of those rooms in his house with just boxes stacked to the ceiling
you
with
know
receipts?
What? I don't know if he, you know, but he has, a lot of things are detailed with him. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I lost in a fire in 1982 in my apartment in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was on the road, road agent running shows, vice president in charge of promotions or some goopy title like that with Georgia Championship Wrestling / WCW in 82 and 83, and my apartment in Knoxville caught on fire when actually I was up in Zanesville, Ohio, and at the end of a tour. But anyway, long story short, when I started my career in 1960, for some reason I started keeping a log of the date, the town, and who my opponent was.
Mm-hmm.
Of every match I'd had since July the 4th, 1960. And that went up in smoke.
And you didn't want to start over.
I couldn't have remembered all that talk.
Well, I mean it's not completely start all over, but I mean start from there and do it again. But,
well,
you know.
Well, I was in wrestling in 82.
Oh. Right.
I was wrestling in 80.
80, right.
Yeah, so I had to really crank the clock
so
back.
You actually, you know, you had your whole career down.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And obviously I couldn't remember. And that's the only matches I had of myself on tape went up in smoke at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's, but kind of, you know, you don't remember a lot of things, but I know fans, you know, but then I can tell you some things that happened when I was a kid going to wrestling matches here, you know, mm-hmm. that probably the participants wouldn't remember. So,
right.
You know. Yeah, it's just one of those things.
It all works out.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway.
The Wrestling Observer is reporting that Jim Ross, Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans, and the original Sheik are all scheduled to be announced as the final inductees into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Well, for Sheik, obviously, I mean, he's, gosh, I don't know, I guess to make some comparisons to Detroit, what Bruno was to New York, what Flair is to Charlotte, what Eddie Graham are. Jack Briscoe was to Tampa, you know, Dory Funk Sr. was to Amarillo. So, yeah, I mean, that certainly makes sense up there. Eddie Farhat was, he was a big money drawer, and you know, in Detroit for a lot of years. And you know, and of course, Rosie's going to present his dad, Sika.
Mm-hmm.
And Samu is presenting his father, Afa. And isn't it Don Morocco's presenting Fuji?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. But anyway, that's, yeah, so, and I guess JR will be presented by Austin.
So, I actually think that Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler should induct each other. Seems kind of cheesy, but.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I just feel... I think that Lawler wanted Lance Russell,
right.
And I don't really think the fact that it's like when the head of the somebody comes out for the Academy of Arts and Sciences at the Academy Awards, and to tell you to make an announcement, how many millions of people watching that show actually know who that person is, or knows that that person has an entertainment background?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're just a lawyer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think. Those who do follow the history of this business, Lance Russell, you know, was one of the top commentators of our time,
mm-hmm.
and was a big part of Jerry's career. I mean, Jackie Fargo and they might say the same thing. Well, who know who he was? I don't really care.
Right.
I mean, when I say that, I don't hate Kevin Dunn. I don't want to throw rocks at him or anything. But I just no. But you get my point. I mean, it's like.
Maybe somebody should know.
You are being inducted, and I'm asking you, who would you like to have? I think it's the important part of that is that that to you, it's and they're saying William Shatner. I'm thinking, why?
Because to them, I mean, everything has to be some publicity
stunt. I like Boston Legal. I DVR it every week and watch it. I think it's a great show. But that has nothing to do with the wrestling, you know, WWE's Hall of Fame.
Right.
Or at least not as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And the fact that he made one, you know, I mean, Lance Russell was such a big part of our business. Well, I don't care regionally now. Well, he was on WCW for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was with, well, he and I worked together in Smoky a couple times. But anyway, I mean, Lance was a big part of our business. And William Shatner, regardless of, if, you know, Star Trek or Boston Legal or whatever else, is a speck, you know, a fly speck on an elephant's butt as
right.
far as wrestling is concerned. Anyway.
Except for Priceline.com, I mean.
Except for what?
Priceline.com. That was wicked.
Oh, okay.
The commercials.
Okay. If
but,
you say so.
But,
whatever.
But, yeah, I understand completely what you're saying. And this is, you know, it's little things like this that is why, even though the WWE Hall of Fame might be the most popular one and the most heard of one, I don't give it as much credence as I would the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it is political to a degree, and there's no, I mean, we can say what we want, but it is,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, which is neither here nor there. It's an honor, I guess, you know. Still, you know, talking about that, I was looking on wrestling/radio.com.
Mm-hmm. Wrestling-radio.
Dash radio, I'm sorry, yes. And man, I'm moving in some heavy company.
Yeah,
Ricky Steamer.
Ricky the Dragon was inducted into
and,
the
Andre
into the wrestling
and,
dash
and
radio.
And Anderson is leading the pack this week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, damn. I mean, all those people, you know, I've worked with, I respect highly, and I'm thinking, I know why they're there, but why am I there?
Well, wrestling,
I don't know.
Wrestling Weekly has brought you to a whole new
well,
generation
see,
of fans.
Is, Doc, you know, you brought me out of mediocrity.
That's right, Les.
To the forefront.
And
I guess I owe you for the big contract, too.
So next time you get inducted into a Hall of Fame, Wrestling Weekly better be in the speech.
The next time, you make it sound like this has something every other week or something. Yeah, okay.
A few times
well,
you
let
have.
Let me check my list of Hall of Fames here where I'm yeah.
ECW News, according to PW Insider, tickets for the third annual one-night stand pay-per-view is going on sale April 7th.
In Jacksonville, Florida?
And it's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Jacksonville Veterans Arena on June 7th.
Okay.
Tickets start at $20 and go all the way up to $150.
But it's actually not going to be the ECW one-night stand. It's going to be the ECW Raw slash Raw slash SmackDown.
Right, because they're
you know,
now using...
I read a little bit on the Fight Network's website that Lance Storm had written about the diluting of champions, championships, and making them meaningless, and he is spot on with that. And I like the brand extension. I have no problem with the crossovers with a reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's going to, so it's like, okay, you're going to, you know, if this continues to where all three brands are on every pay-per-view, then 2 years from now, you'll be saying, and what show is he representing now again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you will.
Right. They have to say it.
Because they're gonna cross-pollinate to build to that particular pay-per-view.
Right.
So, you know, it's like Benoit being on Raw last night, and then, you know, if Cena pops up on SmackDown Friday night, and then...
JBL was on last
yeah,
night.
And it's like, okay, and where do those guys belong again? You know, you would actually, I mean, in the terms of discussing it, you couldn't, I think, at some point. You would have to go to somebody's, to the websites and look up the rosters.
Right, and we're not saying this is happening now, but at some point it will.
Well, I guess it's an easy fix for a problem there. They feel they're having it, and the paper, but pay-per-views are going to be down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our business cycles, it always has, and that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you got to realize back in the day, when I wrestled, you know, I could work. If I were working a territory, and that territory started to drop, I could pick up the phone and call around the country and find some place that, you know, was where I could do better,
mm-hmm.
right? So it was, but each promotion did that. I mean, each promotion, you know, would run and hit its peak and draw like crazy, and then it would fall off for a while, and then it would, they ran in cycles. But the point is now, what do you expect when one company runs the entire world? Or well, I shouldn't say, well, it's actually it's North America where the, you know where it's. You know, it's fallen off, but because the buy rates, from what I understand, in Europe and England and so forth and so on, are actually what's carrying the ball to a great degree. But, I mean, you force the same people down the nation's throat every Monday and Friday night for however long. Yes, at some point it's gonna be watered down, and you're going to suffer. That's the business. That's professional wrestling. And I know when I go to my grave that they'll still be trying to reinvent the wheel. But it's round. It was round 50 years ago, and it's going to be round tomorrow. Okay,
right.
And you deal with it. And you know what? The sad thing is, I was thinking after I read Lance's commentary on that, I said, well, you know, the sad thing about our business today, everybody's looking for that easy fix. Nobody wants to work hard. Got it. You know, the wrestlers want, when I say the cheap pops, it starts from entry level. The baby face stomping his feet and clapping his hands when the bell rings to get the fans to cheer for him, and he hasn't done anything. It's and now the promoters. I mean, so it's kind of monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
Right?
It trickles down.
Let's don't work hard. Let's actually don't learn ring psychology. Let's go out and do, drop our pants, show nipples. Let's do things that really don't take any talent or work to get a reaction. You know, so now it's like, okay, instead of actually sitting down, but see, that was the thing years ago, a booker, if a territory's down, well, sometimes you change bookers, like professional baseball or football or basketball, you know, they change managers and coaches. But you even forget that. Did you change? Okay, the booker realizes, you know, this group of baby faces or heels have had their run. Okay, it's time to start bringing somebody else along. I mean, we go back to what we were talking about last week, where the one-year rule. And developmental, excuse me. That's crazy.
Right.
And then it's just as crazy to drag these guys up, throw them to the wolves, and say, okay, they were out there 30 seconds, they didn't get over, okay, send them back to the minors.
Right.
Okay.
And
which tells me the people that actually understand this business aren't running it.
Uh-huh.
Or if they are, they're too busy enjoying the spoils of war or doing something else to actually give a damn. You know, or oblivious. I don't know. Well, you know, when a corporation gets, well, it comes back to the corporate thing. I don't care if it's General Motors or WWE. When you don't know all your employees, when there's people working for you that you couldn't recognize if they bumped into you in the hallway, you can't tell me you're on top of everything. You know, so I mean that's part of going from regional to international, I guess.
Yeah, and it seems to me like the quick fixes are because they don't want to work harder at it because there's money to be made right now.
Well, there's always been money to be made. You know, you realize some of us made a living in this business from day one. Now,
right.
When I say made a living, I won't tell you that I lived in a 20-room mansion and drove Mercedes Benz every. You know, but
right.
I mean. Again, it was up, and it depended on the territory.
Mm-hmm.
You got to realize you could go to a small territory where you were home every night, you didn't have a lot of road expenses, and make great money for that territory and save money. Where if you got to realize what the guys are making now, how much of that comes out of their pocket for expenses on the road.
Right.
You know, I mean, the numbers sound tremendous until you start, and of course, if you're one of the, you know, whatever group that's really at the, you know, the upper level, of course you're doing fine, and you're going to have a lot of write-offs. But, I mean, you know, there are guys on the lower and middle of that card that it ain't all that good, once the taxes are taken out and the expenses and stuff.
So yeah.
It's not like, you know, they're a top echelon Major League Baseball player. But, of course, you got to realize, too, when you get into that, all major sports with the and if you're lumping us in with sports, has unions with the exception of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that answers its question itself, right?
I mean, right.
You can stop talking at that point.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
WWE this week signed Guy Dudley Lou DeAngeli.
Boy, it is a bad week, news week, isn't it?
To help book smaller buildings in the Northeast,
yeah.
According to Wrestling
Observer.
You know,
that's something that somebody brought up to me, too, that that cost a young promoter up in the Northeast had mentioned to me in an email that it costs so much to get WWE or TNA in a package show.
Right.
And he said it's almost impossible to book a small or medium-sized venue. And I said, you know, you're right. And sadly enough, that's what supported this business for so many years, was the medium and the small venues.
Right.
You know?
Now they can't afford it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, you know, it kind of fits in with the economy of this capitalist country that we live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the rich get richer and the poor, there's a bigger gap between, when I grew up, there was a middle class, and that middle class is starting to fade.
Mm-hmm. They're right? Starting to sink lower.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and then you start looking at the price of concert tickets, the price of just a baseball or basketball tickets, or you want to buy a season ticket for the Bengals? No, man, I don't want to hock my car and mortgage my house.
Right.
I mean, well, you can get, you know, up in the nosebleed where everybody looks like a bunch of ants running around in the field for some ungodly price, but I can see it better at home for nothing.
Right.
You know,
which is why I don't go.
Well, you know what? Part of you know the funny thing for me, I've never been to Paul Brown Stadium here in Cincinnati. I've never been to the Great American Ballpark. I mean, I used to go to Reds games, and I've been to, but I've never been to the two new stadiums. I think when you work around crowds, when you work in crowds, I don't know. I don't want to go out and get jostled around in crowds and stand in line, and you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I know I'm not the only guy that's in the business it's like that. I've had other guys say the same thing. But anyway, prices of tickets, football started out for the common man. We were talking last week about Ernie Ladd, who had to earn, or Wahoo, or anybody else of that genre, who had to earn a living in the off-season football. That's why they went to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's not the case any longer.
No.
But then to pay those particular kind of numbers, the ticket prices have to be ungodly as well.
Right.
So, you know, so the average guy can't go.
Right. You know? Plus they kind of like it because...
When are you going to a Super Bowl?
Me? Never.
Well, me
most
either.
People never.
You know?
Right.
And then, you know what? If I had that kind of money, I'm not sure that I could find a practical reason to spend it.
On a Super Bowl.
On anything. I mean, you know, we usually go to Vegas. We're not going this year. We usually go to Vegas for the Cauliflower Alley Convention every year. And, you know, I used to go to some shows out there when I was going out to the NWA conventions back in the 70s. But the price of the shows, are you ribbing me? Hey, you can see this guy for $100. Oh, you can see him for $100. I'm not going. You know?
Yeah.
I may have to sleep with his wife for $100. You know, I want more than just to be entertained for $100. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, I want all my drinks, my food supplied. I want somebody to walk me to the bathroom and be sure I'm all right.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's just, to me, it's, you know, and I get, maybe that's just because I'm getting old, too. I don't know. But, you know, it's just, it's I've seen that change. And, of course, at your age, you've seen a minor part of it, but not, you know, not the huge, progression that I have in ticket prices.
Right.
You know, but it goes back to what we're saying. Well, when are you going to buy a front row seat for WrestleMania?
Never.
What are they priced? I don't even know. What are you getting for those? Five, six, four, a thousand? What? I don't know.
I think somewhere around three.
Oh, that's where they start. And if somebody's picked them up, and the scalpers are going to be.
Oh yeah,
scalping. Right?
They're going to pay four or five. Yeah.
Sure. Exactly. And somebody will say, well, you know, you get the folding chair. I want half a damn Ford Field. Forget the folding chair.
I don't know. It better be like
a
nuclear recliner.
If you live 10 minutes from there, right, then maybe you can rationalize $300 or $400.
Right.
But if you have to go there, well, you know, say fly, stay in a hotel, eat, what are we talking about here?
Park.
Yeah, you know, rent a car if you have to fly in or take taxis.
Now it costs as much to park
in
the venue than it used to get in.
Hotels. I mean, I mentioned Vegas in the 70s and current Vegas. the difference in a hotel is more than doubled in terms of rates,
right?
And that's the rate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not if you just go out there and take, you know, pot luck. So, I mean, it's just, and I realize the price of everything's gone up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember buying a 1976 Buick Electra 225 limited loaded two-door coupe with all, I mean, all the goodies on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And paid less than $10,000 for it.
Nice.
You'd pay $35,000.
I saw this commercial, and this, oh, you just reminded me of this. I think it was about 3 months ago on Comedy Central, I believe it is. They show old Saturday Night Live episodes real late.
Yeah.
And they had this one. It was a parody of a car commercial. But in this commercial, they were like, are you tired of paying, you know, $5,000 for a brand new car? And I don't know what the joke or whatever it was that went on, you know, to the skit was, but that just struck me as, yeah, new cars were $5,000 in the 70s,
yeah,
weren't they?
You know, and here again, I don't care, show my age, but I bought a 1957 Chevrolet for right around $3,000 brand new.
Mm.
Brand spanking new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What can you buy? What kind of junker can you buy for $3,000?
I could tell you exactly what kind of junker you can buy. A 1995 Pontiac Sunfire, because that's what I own.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on. According to Forbes magazine, since we're speaking about WrestleMania and the Battle of the Billionaires, neither Vincent K. McMahon nor...
Were we speaking of the Battle of the Millionaires? You mean there hasn't been enough talk? You mean that Raw and SmackDown and ECW hasn't dominated that particular... I mean, that particular match hasn't dominated those shows enough? Now we're going to talk about it?
I guess...
Are you a member of the family?
It's our obligation.
Are you?
No, I'm on WWE's payroll.
I'm tired of hearing about it. I hope the hell they hurry up and get it done.
But according to Forbes, neither Vince McMahon nor Bodog's Calvin Ayer are really billionaires. The magazine reports that Calvin Ayer had lost $500 million in the last year.
$500 million.
despite not making the list of billionaires.
I haven't lost $500 million in the last lifetime.
Exactly. Probably 3, 4, 5 lifetimes I haven't.
Really?
Despite not making the list of billionaires, the Wrestling Observer reports that McMahon's stock is worth a cool $749 million.
Okay.
Forbes estimated that Donald Trump's net worth is $2.9
billion. Okay, so Donald's well in the billionaire club.
Yes.
You know what?
Calvin Ayer is the part.
I'll settle for old poor Vince's bankroll. Or I'll take what he pays in taxes this year. Thank you very much. I'm not greedy. I'm not greedy.
Oh, you only want $300 million. You're not greedy.
No, I understand it's business. I understand it's showbiz. I understand all that. But it's a shame that this is overshadowing the athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it's sort of supposed to, I guess.
But it's the boss's game.
Right.
And, you know, so he can do what he wants.
Absolutely.
You know, he's that 800-pound gorilla. Do anything damn thing he please.
in TNA news, TNA has released in the last week their house show schedule that they're going to, the beginning of the house show schedule, at least. On April 7th, they're going to be at the Crossroads Arena in Corinth, Mississippi. Tickets go on sale March 16th. On April 13th, they're going to be at the Shrine Mosque in Springfield, Missouri. April 20th, it's the Louisville Gardens in Louisville, Kentucky. And on June 3rd, they're going international-less. They're going to be at Coliseo de Puerto Rico in Hato Rey, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Nice.
The 20th of April, I'm going to be at Maggie Valley, North Carolina at my wife's family reunion. So
I don't know. I might head down to Louisville and check it out. I don't know. They'll probably picture me up there, though. Don't let this guy in.
Whatever. Whatever. I wish him well.
Mm-hmm.
I wish him well. I've watched that show with, well, I just watched
high it. Hopes.
Well, no, I don't have high hopes. I just watch it.
I have hope. I still have hope.
Okay.
We'll see, guys. We'll see what happens.
Good. And the only thing I want to say about Raw last night is that for a guy 57 years old, it gets that crazy. If he's never seen a girl in lingerie, he needs to have some giant kick his butt. He deserves to have his ass handed to him.
He is 57, isn't he?
I'm thinking, Jerry, get off of it. Come on. I mean, when I say this, I like Jerry Lawler. I don't have a thing against Jerry Lawler. It's just that shtick. You're too old to be acting like you're 12.
But that kind of is like Jerry with the notch turned up.
They're going to be in lingerie. Oh my God.
I'm gonna pass out, Jam.
You know, but see, I think we out-hokey ourselves sometimes.
Sometimes.
When the gong went off at the end of the show and Cena and Michael started looking around in horror, I thought, you know what? Mark Callis has been coming out to this same shtick for 16 years. Haven't you caught on yet? You know, I mean, no.
Or it's kind of like how everyone jumps when the fire comes out.
Do you get my point?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you're beating me over the head with it. I mean, well, but see, I've seen it for that many. I mean, and I'm sure there's some 9-year-old that's never seen it before, right? Or someone's just tuned in for the first time or just became a fan who's probably,
maybe that's who it's for.
Well, it must be because I can't believe that anybody's been watching as long as, you know, 15 years or 16 years is, you know... Well, but it's seen. It's like when you see Kali come out on the ramp, and you stand in the ring, wait for him to get there to hand you your butt. Then you know what I think. Then you deserve to have your butt handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you stand out in the middle of the interstate and watch a truck a mile away and say that truck's going to run over me, and if it does, I'm not going to say poor doc. I'm going to say dumb doc.
So what would the opponent do to make it realistic? Run.
Well, sure, and you know, here's the thing. Isn't a thing called element of surprise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I made this statement probably on this show once or 12,000 times. That's all you have in this business today is the element of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And once Kali comes out walking, which is the one thing he does well, walk, he and breathe, I guess. But I'm not sure if that's hard for him or not, but. He was a champion bodybuilder, and I've done competitive bodybuilding. I keep trying to envision him posing to music, and I just can't. I'm sorry. I cannot see him being graceful in any way, shape, or form. But no, I mean, what if he steps out behind you and you don't see him and he nails your butt? Okay, I'm up with that.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, but the whole point is you're standing there. He's 100 yards away. And you stand there and wait till he gets on top of you, horrified. You know, if you're that frozen place, you should either wet yourself or something.
We should have that.
You know, well, no, I shouldn't say that. That'll happen next week. Somebody will read the transcript of this or hear that, and then they'll be done. And then it's Katie Bick all over again. It comes back to the cheapness of it. Right, it's vaudeville, brother,
mm-hmm.
I want to get away from that 47 years ago, and I still do.
Absolutely.
And they're going more for the vaudeville thing today than there were when I broke into this.
It's just easier.
Well, yes, you're right. Let's don't work hard at this. Let's actually don't teach anybody ring psychology. Let's just go out and get some cheap shtick in. Okay, mm-hmm. Why not?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Vince McMahon wants to turn wrestling into a show,
show. Well, that's a shame because it sure supported him in a pretty damn good lifestyle when his dad was when he was still living off his dad. Well, I shouldn't say that because Vince worked hard at the business, and he came close to losing his butt a couple times. And he's worked hard, you know.
He took some big risks.
Mm-hmm. I want respect for the industry, and I'll die wanting respect for the industry.
Well, it seems like the guy who's...
And if I'm the only one, that's cool. I'm up with that. The rest of you can kiss my rear end. I really don't care.
It seems like the guy who's the most, I guess, public figure in the sport seems like he's ashamed to be a part
You're
of
right.
it.
You're right. But it's all right for your daughter to go on a national talk show and talk about her sex life.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
All right.
Okay, whatever. You know, again, I'm not even going to get into that. I mean, I don't have anything personal. I like Vince. I mean, I get along with Vince. As far as I know, I mean, he puts up a hell of a front if I don't. But I just, you know, That's not my stance on the industry. And you know what? If I were if I picked peaches for a living, I'd feel the same thing about that. I would want you to respect me as a peach picker. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I mean, it's I don't care what you do.
Right.
Nobody else feels that way. They can kiss my rear end. I could really care less. I want to mention real quick.
Sure.
I don't have the dates locked in, but I'm going back to Mobile for a 3-day camp in June, and then I'm going to be in Tennessee May 18th and 19th, Elizabethan on the 18th, and Jacksboro on the 19th. Elizabethan's up in the Tri-Cities around Kingsport, Johnson City, and Jacksboro is north of Knoxville off of I-75. But I don't even have the name of the promotion or anything yet, but I'll get you more of that.
We'll have that up when we get it available at epwg.com.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And somebody's hacked into that website, and I have deleted over 3,000 bogus emails from all, which aren't even in English, bouncing back from spam firewalls and stuff. And if I could find the SOB, I would bury my foot so far in his throat.
We're looking for you, mister. We're going to find you.
I've got a friend who's in internet or computer security business, and he's going to try and get it squared away because I told him, I said, Doc Young is my tech expert, and he said, you mean the guy who handles the technical part of Wrestling Weekly? And I said, yeah. He said, then I'll take care of it. I said, okay.
Tell him thank you from me.
No. the big story, I guess, honestly, this week is the Sports Illustrated thing about the steroids.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more when we get Brian on the show. That's
okay.
Going to be our hot topic for the week.
Okay.
One last TNA note. Alex Marvez, good friend of yours, has an interview up.
Co-author of our book.
Absolutely. He has an interview up with Bill Goldberg in his syndicated wrestling column this week. In the interview, Goldberg addresses TNA. Basically, what was said was that, Goldberg wanted so much money, TNA didn't want to give it to him. Goldberg, I love the quotes he gives. Here's a quote. If they were smart, they would give me what I want because it would put them on the planet. That's all I have to say. That doesn't take anything away from the guys like Kurt Angle and Sting and those guys. But if they were smart, they would give me what I wanted and put them on the map. If they want to be a competitor with Vince, there's only one of three options. Me, Brock, and God knows who the other one is. This is a quote. That's the reality of it.
Here's the reality of it, Bill. I don't have anything against you either. But that whole thing, Goldberg was a gold-plated money machine a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he said the same thing anymore. I mean, I think he has the look, and he's doing the whatever the hell the name of that the show is. It's on Spike now, and he's done some movies, and that's all well and good. But see, here's the problem: Goldberg wasn't a great worker when he was actually working. And
right.
You don't come back from something you weren't good at to start with, and be good at after you've been away from it.
And in WCW, he's this unstoppable monster.
And here's
but
the other thing. TNA hasn't taken the options they have and made the best of them, as
mm-hmm.
it is. So
mm-hmm.
You might give them Vince and God along with Bill, and they might do it wrong. I don't know. You know, it's just, no, I don't disrespect Goldberg, you know.
Right.
There was something that nobody had an idea. He came out, he got the smoke from the fireworks in his mouth and blew it out his nostrils and the whole thing, you know. But then WCW killed that, and then the whole deal in WWE was just god-awful.
That was it. That humanized the character.
Well, see, here's the other thing is, when I say this, these are people, and I'm like him. I have all the respect in the world for Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe. I don't know Angle that way. Joe, I like as a person. Never mind if he could work or couldn't. But
mm-hmm.
but I think he's one of the best. You've heard me say this. One of the best young talents in the business.
Absolutely.
I have nothing against Christian, although he would not be my world champion the second time because after the first time, you realize that's not his lot in life. But they haven't done. They have humanized those Angle and Joe.
Right.
And what I mean by that is they shouldn't have.
They
should be special within that company, and they're not. They're still, don't get me wrong, fans still care, but not the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Now, who do I blame? I don't know, because I don't run the company, and nobody calls me and asks my opinion. So.
Right. It's just the way it turned out.
Huh?
It's just the way it turned out.
Well, no, it's the way it's by design it's turned out.
It's by design.
I don't know who to throw the rocks at, or I would throw them. But
right.
You know, no, I just, you know, it's like giving you a Ferrari and you treat it like it's a Model T Ford rust bucket or something. It's just, it makes no sense to me.
Absolutely.
You know? It's opportunities lost, mm-hmm. is what it is, honestly, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got Hot Topic with Brian Alvarez. He's going to be with us speaking about the big match with Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney over the weekend. And we're going to get to the Hot Topic, which, of course, is the Sports Illustrated steroid scandal. The lovely Lacey from Wrestling Society Extra and Ring of Honor is going to be on the program in a little bit. Another young lady I saw this weekend. So
Then that's why you're incoherent and babbling. Okay.
This is why I'm so starstruck right now.
You were then touching. You touched her shoulder or something.
I was this close, Les.
Oh my God.
I think the
good
part
for
of my,
you and bad for her. Is
I think
all
part
I
of my coat was touching part of her coat.
Okay. Well, then you guys are probably engaged.
Our coats.
That's the best I can figure.
Our
right?
coats had a very brief but hot relationship.
You're
yes.
probably engaged.
We'll be right back after this with all that and more. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com. The internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for Hot Topic from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter and Wrestling Observer Live. You can check out that newsletter, of course, at
Figure4Online.com.
F4WOnline.com is also the other one. But, yeah, Brian Alvarez is here. Brian, it was great meeting you last weekend. We came out to, or actually I came out to your show, where you took on Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney for the Texarkana, the ICWA Texarkana television title, which is one of the most important titles on the indies.
It really is.
Yes.
And I was very happy to see you there. I was very sad that Les couldn't make the trip, but maybe next time.
That's true.
Well, you know, now that you're back and you're on the road, when your tour gets near my town, I will certainly be there.
This is a very large loop is the only problem. It's similar to Pluto's orbit. It takes many, many years for me to get back around.
I know it was a successful weekend for the both of you because I didn't get any phone calls to bail anybody out of jail.
That's right.
That's right. We behaved.
Doc was very low-key this weekend.
Let's get to the meat of this. We're talking about the Texarkana title. Did you win it or what?
Well, here's what happened.
Oh.
Larry brought a Texarkana television referee with him. He wanted his own referee because he's a coward, you see.
That's right.
So we had this match, and Larry Sweeney attempted to hit me with his belt, his Texarkana title, and I gave him a German suplex, and the referee counted the pin and announced that I was the winner. However, his referee claimed my shoulders had been down as well, and so they took the belt and bailed.
Mm.
Wow, a disputed finish.
It was a disputed finish.
It's hard to believe in professional wrestling that that would actually happen.
Now, my belief is that since the referee in charge of the contest announced me as the winner, I should, in fact, be the rightful champion.
I would agree.
So
but apparently, we'll have to settle our differences down the line. But for now, I am staking claim to that title.
All right.
I have a suggestion for you. It should be sort of like the China Eddie Guerrero thing, where you guys should actually share the belt. Like, every week, he should mail it to you, and then you keep it for about 5 days and mail it back to him.
Problem is, I'm too cheap to mail it back.
Until the return match.
I can see this billing to be the next Lydell Ortiz.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah,
could be.
I just no doubt in my mind.
It was really a great show, though, Les. A lot of people, I mean, there were a lot of surprises on the show. There were a lot of people there who we didn't know were going to be there, you know, that just came out. Some, well, came out of a monkey suit, but...
Came out of what?
Well, there's this monkey guy running around the show in the audience. I guess he is the Fight Sports Midwest, what do you call it?
The mascot.
The mascot, yes.
Let me actually explain where this came from, this idea. The people that had set up the ring, apparently they were setting it up and they were looking in the ring truck and there was just an ape costume. And nobody knows why it was there. But the promoter's like, hey, somebody put that on, and you can be the mascot. And so apparently that's the mascot now. All the children love the ape. Oh,
so my. This guy's running around the audience, and, well, he jumps into a match. And, you know, he's trying to help out the good guy.
Uh-oh.
So they have now this tag team match.
See, maybe it's best I wasn't there.
It's Tyler Black. And
Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey, I only go to once a year anyway.
Wait, well, you got to hear the rest of this.
I probably really don't have to hear the rest of
it. It's Tyler Black and Super Amazing Monkey versus Josh Abercrombie. And who's the other guy?
I was not around.
Okay. So they're in this match, and... After the gorilla gets a gorilla flip and a monkey or a gorilla press,
a monkey flip
and a gorilla, and he's calling for the gorilla press. Josh rips off the costume. It's Jimmy Jacobs from Ring of Honor.
Okay, so it was a wrestler.
It was a wrestler.
If it weren't a wrestler, I could have told you what would have happened to him 30 years ago.
Right.
They would have carted his ass out on a stretch.
But yeah, so Jimmy Jacobs was there. Mickey Knuckles, the IWA Women's Champion. Just showed up and said, I want to wrestle. So she wrestled. It was pretty cool. There were a lot of people there.
Was it just like open mic night at the Funny Bone?
Well, I'm sure it was all planned, but I mean, they weren't announced, you know. It was
I got you.
You know, they were there. But it was pretty cool. And then we took Brian out after the show, and he had his very first steak burger from Steak and Shake.
Yeah,
yes.
Very exciting.
Well, there are no Steak and Shakes up in your part of the country?
I never heard of Steak and Shake before in my whole life.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like a White Castle. They've never heard of that either.
No, White Castle and Steak and Shake are not alike at all.
I've at least heard of White Castle.
Yeah, we have White Castle here in Cincinnati, and we have Steak and Shake as well. I'll tell you what we have here, Doc, that came from Brian's part of the world is the Red Robin.
Yep.
With the bottomless steak fries.
Fine
eating establishment.
We do not have that here.
It is good. It is, yeah. I mean, their burgers are good. Their turkey burgers, their chicken. I mean, everything on the menu is good, isn't it, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Crispy chicken burger, a longtime favorite of mine. It's a good restaurant.
Yeah, it really is.
And if you buy this DVD, you can get it at smartmarkvideo.com when it comes out. It's not out yet. It should be a few weeks. You just look for the Fight Sports Midwest show. You'll see Brian coming to the ring, and everybody's cheering for him. When the cheer sort of died down, at the same time I yelled, Brian, you stud. And he thought I yelled, Brian, you suck. So you go see him on the DVD. He stops halfway in the ring and turns and gives me this look like, why'd you say that? And it goes back in the ring. So if you see him on the DVD looking at somebody funny, that's who he's looking at.
Well, I look at you funny, too.
You
so
do,
I'll
too.
I'll know right away. I'll see that this is Doc I'm looking at. Look,
Which is why we're on the radio, because...
you have a face for radio.
Because that makes me nervous when you give me that look, Les. The Dooley's in the chat room, Brian. He wants you to tell the story about meeting Claudio Castagnoli.
Well, I'd actually met Claudio at the Battle of L.A., and he was at this show as well, and You know, the whole thing came down where he was released from WWE, and the story was that he didn't have his papers in order or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on his website and announced that, yes, he did have his papers in order. And it sort of became, you know, I was hearing two sides of this story. The WWE side was insisting one thing, and he was insisting another thing. Anyway, I saw Cloudy at the show, and he showed me his green card. So I think that upon thinking about this, the only thing that I can figure is John Laurinaitis must have messed something up.
Mm-hmm.
And told the story, and I guess just trying to shift the heat to Claudio. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
Right.
Basically being, okay, well, you know, he didn't have his papers in order and that sort of thing, and this is why he was let go or whatever, because, you know, he does. He's been working for Ring of Honor. He's working all over the U.S. He's living in this country. So obviously the story that came out of WWE was not correct, and why that story came out, I have no idea, but that was
switching,
the story.
Switching the heat is one of the other favorite pastimes of the people in our business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's been
yeah.
For years.
America wants to know why you're afraid of chicken referees, Brian.
I have no idea what that story was about.
I have no... You know, when Brian comes on the show, all these guys from the Figure Four Weekly message board come into our chat room, and they start asking these insider jokes.
All I want to know, does he bring our numbers up significantly?
Yes, he does.
Then, okay.
He
then
definitely
that's
does.
That's the main thing.
I like that. I like that in Brian. But
I do have to say this about the people in our chat room and such. We had a lot of people show up from the website, and I said this on the Brian and Vinny show, but sometimes if anybody's ever been on our board or on our website, there's a lot of weird personalities on the board, and I'm sure you've got weird personalities in your chat room and on your board as well.
Yes.
And on all message boards and that sort of thing. And I met all these people, and they were all great.
Mm-hmm.
It amazed me that, you know, you would think that maybe you'd have some problem with these people or they'd be a certain way or whatever, but every single one of them was cool, and I thought that was great.
So you were a little nervous.
And it wasn't so much nervous. It was just like, you know, first off, I didn't expect really. Maybe I thought three or four people would show up, and many more did, and I was very happy about that. But, you know, I just thought, okay, of all these people, somebody here, you know, maybe somebody here would have some sort of attitude or problem or something like that, or I don't know. But they were all really cool, and so I was very happy about that.
Isn't it kind of amazing how someone in this day and age, there's a lot of people have dual person. They have that personality behind that keyboard
right.
on the computer, and then they're a whole different person when you actually meet them.
Or on a show.
I mean, it's sort of like the person mentioned Claudio, because I think that he thought that because I wrote the deal about Claudio, which was all I did was I gave WWE side of the story. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I gave his side too in the same newsletter. I'm like, okay, here's what he said. Here's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I think people thought that, okay, well, if we're back in this locker room together, he may try to beat me up.
Right,
and
right.
It was nothing like that. I mean, you know, we shook hands and when we talked, and he'll probably be on the show, and everything was fine, and it was nothing like that. And I think that, you know, I think he understood that I was trying to do my job. You know, he was released. I wanted to know why. I asked. I got this story. He told this story, and I said, okay, here's what everybody said. Here's a story.
You know, and here's the funny thing, too, Brian, and that hasn't changed. Because our business is built on conflict, right, basically, that everyone thinks then if you are a Republican and I'm a Democrat, then we're mortal enemies,
mm-hmm.
right? But, I mean, if you stop and think about it, these same people that think that probably are, you know, have disagreements with the best friend they have in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't agree with their mother and father mm-hmm. on everything.
Well, Vince and I get more arguments than anyone in the world.
Sure.
But it's not going to come to blows.
Yeah, the original beautiful Bobby Harmon lives here in Cincinnati, and I know some of the kids, when he and I will get into these, you know, these heated discussions, and I say discussions because they're not arguments, right? They're just opinions. And these kids say, you guys don't get along. I said, no, we're great friends. Well, man, you know, but it's just, you know, we're both making our, you know, expressing our viewpoint, and yeah, like you and Vinny, I guess. But yeah, it's
well. I mean, look at it like this way too. I mean, if you said, okay, name the two people that Jim Cornette buries more than anybody else. The first would be Vince Russo,
mm-hmm.
who he probably really hates, and the second would probably be Kenny Bolin, who he's been friends with since high school.
Yeah, he went to school with him exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he'll bury that guy right and left. But that's just.
You know, that's one of the things in our business years ago, and Terry Taylor and I talk about this, because we kid each other that our wives are the only people that don't think we have a sense of humor. They don't think we're funny in the least. But you realize that some of the locker room humor is cut. I mean, you're tearing somebody apart. Ken Lucas, who, if you read Flair's book, tells you that here's one of the guys who was one of the best workers Flair ever locked up with. Yet, you know, so many people wouldn't know who Kenny was. But Kenny had this dry sense of humor. He might walk up to you and say, "Doc, is that your real body?" You know, but he wouldn't mess. He wouldn't do that if he didn't like you,
right?
He wouldn't bother to cut you if he did not like you. And so, I mean, you got to realize I started this business at 19, and I grew up around that environment. So a lot of times I pick at people that I care about, and my wife being one of those who doesn't tolerate it very much, right? But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean that's the kind of locker room humor that you know that this business is built on.
Mm. Brian, let's get into the meat of the hot topic now. The hot topic this week is of course the Sports Illustrated steroid scandal.
What story is that?
Right. can you run down, just basically outline what's been going on this last week as far as this goes?
Well, this actually stems back a couple of months now, actually. There was a big raid, a number of pharmacies, including Allied Pharmacy in Mobile, Alabama, which was basically filling prescriptions through the Internet.
That is Mobile, Alabama, for you guys in the Northwest.
Right.
I apologize for that. Mobile, Alabama.
Right.
But yeah, they were filling prescriptions for not just wrestlers, but a number of famous people. I can't even say sports stars because there were just a number of famous people and obviously non-famous people as well. But they were selling a number of different things. And the first name that came out was Kurt Angle a couple of weeks ago because he bought prescriptions for he'd taken out prescriptions for a couple of different steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, went online and he said, "Listen, I have a legitimate medical reason for these. I've broken my neck X number of times. All of this was done with the care of a doctor," that sort of thing. Not mentioning the fact that one of the steroids was only indicated for veterinary use. And, yeah, that sort of ruins your credibility there. But it's not approved for human usage. And he somehow got a prescription for this, which amazes me that such a thing can occur. But so he was the first name, and then they had all these records, and at first they were saying that they were going to keep these names private, and then apparently there was a huge 180. And they are going to get all the names and send them to all of the leagues, so if a certain NFL player is on the list, his name will be sent to his league, that sort of thing. And yesterday the wrestling names came out. And apparently there are 11 names, and we don't have all of them yet. I think there's only 6 or 7. But among the names listed were Edge, Shane Helms, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and probably some others I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But
Orton.
Orton had, I believe, two or three prescriptions for about 6 different steroids. So he was covering all the bases, this young man. But
absolutely, yes.
I think the key here, this has gotten, there are two things. First off, this has gotten a lot of press. A lot of press today, all over the place. And it'll be a few days before we find out if it actually means anything. Because I think the key is that wrestling, the wrestlers listed, while they're all over the paper today, are very low-level names compared to some of the names that may come out in the next couple of days. This may end up being a huge national story, and the wrestling names will be such that they'll just sort of fall by the wayside,
right?
Because they're wrestlers in a fake sport.
I do understand that there were a lot of people peeing in bottles last night or yesterday in Indianapolis.
Oh, wow. Now,
there was testing today, actually, a lot of tests.
Was it today? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one part. And then the other part is, and actually I predicted this before WWE even made the statement, but they basically said exactly what I figured they were going to say, which was, all of these prescriptions were purchased prior to the wellness program.
Yes.
We now have a wellness program. The wellness program specifically states you cannot use prescriptions that are purchased over the Internet, this, that, and the other thing, and that's all true. So really, in some ways, they've got their bases covered.
Mm-hmm.
Because this all did happen, But they do now have a policy, and there have been failures. And while they asked WWE about these failures, and WWE basically said, we will not list names because of privacy concerns, that sort of thing, if push came to shove, they can privately and release these names and prove that they have, in fact, suspended people. And it's true. The guy they've got in charge right now, Dr. Black, is a stickler for this policy. And there have been people that have failed because the prescription they had for a certain steroid had either expired, which happened in the case of Kurt Angle, or they purchased it over the Internet, which is not allowed.
Right.
So it's a big story, but it's not as big a story as a lot of people probably think it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that was mentioned in the article. It was Edge and, of course, Helms were listed as receiving HGH and not anabolic steroids. Could you explain the difference between these two?
Well, the thing you have to consider is that let's say that Edge got HGH through this pharmacy.
HGH, by the way, is human growth hormone.
Human growth hormone, yes.
Doesn't understand.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's the only thing he's taking. He could have gotten a prescription for steroids from his regular doctor and got the HGH through this group. Basically, HGH on its own isn't going to do a whole hell of a lot. You've pretty much got to stack it with some sort of steroid. And I was actually surprised that those were the only two names that had purchased HGH, because I thought that it would be much, much higher than that, because that's one of those things that a lot of guys, if they can afford it, which is also the strange thing about Helms, because when I talked to people about Helms, the first thing everybody said was, I can't believe he can afford that, because it's not cheap.
No, it's not.
And the deal is, like, I figured everybody on that list would have gotten HGH, but maybe they didn't, but... Anyway, the point is, you pretty much have to stack it with a steroid, and so most likely, and the thing with the drug policy also is, in WWE, you can be on steroids. It's the policy states that if you are using steroids for purposes of injury rehabilitation, and they are prescribed to you by your primary care physician, then you're okay. And basically, the guys in WWE that are gigantic have a lot of injuries. That's how it works.
Right.
And that's how you can be gigantic and pass the test. You just have to have a valid prescription from your primary care physician, and you're okay.
Right.
Yeah, let me throw in, and I don't know if this will anybody be shocked by my, I don't judge. I've been around professional bodybuilding. I've been around this business. I have never used. Now, I won't say I've never used an illegal drug because I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, so I won't sit here and say I'm not trying to be holier than thou or some kind of saint. I am not. But what?
Nothing.
What are you going to say? Anyway, I've never used the juice. And as somebody said, a guy says he's never used steroids. Maybe he's telling the truth. He's just used human growth. But... which he wouldn't be lying if he said he'd never used steroids. Anyway, I look at all this as like wink, wink, college athletes don't get gifts of money.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what's going on. It's, who does, the harm, comes to the person that's using it. Why do people use it? Well, some kid that's came out, was a walk-on at some major college to play football, was told that if he could gain 20 pounds by the start of practice next year, he's going to start at linebacker.
Right.
Did that coach tell him to take steroids? No, but the implication is there.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, your Uncle Ray's a drunk, but you don't tell anybody he's a drunk. I'm kind of like, I don't know if Brian's saying it for the same reason. It's a big story, but on the other hand, it's like, unless you've been hiding in a hole all your life, you look at some of these people, and it's obvious that they use. And the funny thing is, about steroids, everybody looks at, let's say Test is a guy who got busted, or whoever's in great shape, looking at that's what they look. No, you don't have to look like that. Steroids are used by a lot of people that don't have. I mean, there are NFL players that are on sauce that look fat because they don't have to be in that kind of shape.
Well, I think that the thing that is one thing that a lot of people. I always see this on message boards. People going, let's see who's on steroids and who's not, and they start throwing out names, and it gets in arguments, and people are like, oh, Eddie Guerrero just worked out really hard, this, that, and the other thing. And the reality is Jamie Noble was on steroids.
Right.
That's why he was fired. Shane Helms bought HGH. We've had Tim Sylvia of the UFC, steroids. Mm-hmm. Josh Barnett of the UFC, steroids. None of these guys look like your stereotypical steroid user.
Right.
But they were all on something.
Yeah.
Because everybody has different genetics.
And everybody's looking for the edge.
Yeah, some guys can take a low level of steroid and just blow up like a balloon. Some guys can take every drug in the world and still look horrible. And some guys look great and they've never taken anything in their whole lives. And everything in between. So anytime you see any sort of argument about who is or is not on steroids, it really largely means nothing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, here's the thing, too. A former professional bodybuilder who I won't name because that's not relevant. He's a friend of mine. He's a personal friend. But the conversation, he won his IFBB, for those who don't know, that's the International Federation of Bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
He won his IFBB card by winning a major amateur contest. And he had the genetics that he was clean up till that point, right? He stepped on a stage in his first professional show and looked around him and realized, I've got to do what these people have to do to survive. You know, if I'm going to be a professional bodybuilder, then I've got to join the club. And I think that, you know, they talk about baseball, and they're talking about Socia, they talk about Bonds. And there are guys, or Canseco, who obviously you look at Canseco, you know he's in shape, or, you know, now what McGuire used, Andostinian, that's bullshit. No, I can't say that. That is something that kicks your testosterone levels up for a short period of time, and you can buy across the counter, and it's banned by baseball. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't even guarantee you that it actually works, because realize this. I've worked around the bodybuilding industry and around supplementation for a long period of time. The three of us can take the same supplements, and they'll work for one of us and not for the other two, in part because a natural supplement, your body is going to use so much, and it can only use so much, and then it's going to dispose of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so maybe you can use creatine and gain 15 pounds, and I can use creatine, I feel myself get stronger, but there won't be a significant weight gain, right? So, I mean, a lot of this is just, the people that are doing the bans don't understand what the hell they're banning to start with. The other part of it is it comes back to the guys who are the top in our business, or whether it's baseball or football, are there, and one of the ingredients that puts you there is your competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be number two. You want to be number one. So you find out, why am I losing to this guy? Well, he's doing this, so then I'm going to do it too. You know, I'm not saying break the law. I'm not condoning it, but I'm not going to ride these guys out of town on a rail and tar and feather them either. You know, they're doing what it takes to. I have never had the opportunity to be offered a seven-figure contract. If I were 20 years old and were offered that contract, would I do? Would I get on the gas? I don't know, because I've never been in that position. I was around when D-ball first came into being. I saw guys blow up and get watery, and I thought, well, hell, I can go to a buffet and do that. You know, I was lucky enough at my size to have a decent physique from just, you know, from being an athlete,
right,
from working out. And would I make it in this day and age? I don't know. You know, but again, I won't tell you that I wouldn't try it if the price. There's an old saying, we're all hookers. It's just a matter of establishing price, right?
Right.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, it's, you know, I can't, it's hard to blame anybody for doing what they do, because they're in a business where certain things are expected, and I think that I just get frustrated with people that get on stuff and, like, that's their solution.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to eat right, build as good a physique as you can naturally, and then if you're still not big enough, if you still need a little more size, maybe think about doing something else. But I just, you know, there are too many guys that go in and do 50 sets of the pec deck and 100 curls and don't eat and are small and decide, the solution, the problem is I'm just not taking steroids or something, or I have bad genetics. And that frustrates me.
When I own my school, I don't get the question so much anymore because I am not, I don't see a lot of the guys that I work in these training camps with on a daily basis. But when I own my school, I can't tell you how many times a guy would move to Cincinnati, enroll in the school, and like 2 weeks in, say, when do I get on the juice? What? When do I get on? What are you talking about? How long have you been lifting? Oh, well, I started lifting 3 months before I came here. How old are you? Well, I'm 19 or I'm 20. Here's a clever idea. Why don't we see what your genetic potential is before you do anything? You know, but Brian, we were talking earlier that in this day and age, and it's not just our business, but it's just like, why are we grouping all three of the brands in every pay-per-view now? Because that's the easy solution. It's not hard work. And as you know, working in the indies, maybe you don't want to say it, I will, there's more guys looking for shortcuts than there are guys who actually want to buckle down and learn the psychology or hit the weight room. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
So, but I agree with you. If all you have going for you is shortcuts, I don't want to talk to you about it. It's, you know, now, if you've done everything possible and this is the only solution that puts you over the edge, then that's your call. That's your liver you're dealing with and your kidneys, you know, and your heart and everything else. I think one of the, and I'm not going to get into the political aspects, but I think one of the things that I've learned in over 60 years of life is my country is spending more time protecting me from myself today than it ever has, and I don't want it to. I have a little common sense. It's like a seatbelt. You're going to get
We should allow evolution to do its job.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Exactly. And now, I don't say just throw the door open and amateur athletics and let everybody just take all the drugs they want, because obviously, as we were talking about pricing, that's the other thing. But what I will say, the problem, and I saw this with amateur bodybuilding, is that here's the deal. If you're a seven-figure athlete, you're going to find a doctor who's a jock sniffer, and he is going to deal with you because he wants to rub elbows with you, and he can check your white corpuscle count and so forth on a biweekly basis. What the young kids don't understand is when you're buying this stuff out of the trunk of somebody's car, you don't know what the hell you're getting.
Right.
You don't know if it's good stuff. You don't know if it's clean. You don't know how it's going to affect you, you know? And the one thing I will say that if you follow professional bodybuilding, there are some guys that have had kidney failures. There's some guys that have had, you know, that have passed away before they hit 50. And can you guarantee it's because of steroids? No, you can't. But there's a damn good possibility that that's the reason, you know?
Or it's a pretty good coincidence.
Yes.
Well, I think that the one thing is the common wrestling death with guys who have taken a lot of steroids in their life is the enlarged heart.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't know how you can, with a straight face, say that steroids are going to build up all of the muscles in your body except your heart. I don't understand how a steroid can specify between one muscle and another. The heart is a muscle, and if you see a lot of bodybuilders who have died because of an enlarged heart, to me, that's all I need.
Well, you know, you can have a dormant cancerous cell in your body, and it will activate that as well.
Yeah, a plane could fall on your house, too, but I'm not going to encourage it.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. That's the other thing, too. That when the D-ball came out, Dianabol, which was the first of the anabolics, or at least the first of my knowledge anyway, I'm not a gambler. I sit in the bar and talk. I don't gamble in Las Vegas. I don't gamble. And you know what? Getting out of bed in the morning is gamble enough for me. But I saw guys having some repercussions from this stuff. And again, just getting big and watery, you know, blowing up, puffy. And I thought, well, hell, why do I want to risk my health for that? I didn't see the value. So I think that's part of it too, is who's willing to stick their neck out, you know. But I mean, this question has been posed to some of the top professional bodybuilders over the years. If there was a drug that would assure you of being Mr. Olympia every year, but it was going to kill you before you hit a certain age, would you take it? And they say yes. You know, now, I love this business. This has been my life for almost 47 years. But there are limitations, you know. Scaffold matches would be one of them, other than step. But you get my point. You know, but I think they're...
And the tough thing is, I think a lot of guys, in fact, I would guess that every one of them, everybody says certain things when they're 20, and when the door is staring at them in the face at age 40, I think they would recant that, and then it's too late.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes. That's so true. But, you know, that's the thing so many of these guys don't understand, too, and the general public doesn't understand, that you just can't pop a pill or take a shot and sit down and watch TV and pop Cheetos and drink Cokes and look like, some of these guys look. I mean, they're still, your diet is important. Your rest is important. Your training is important. There's no miracle out there. You know, it enhances all these things. But, again, it also enhances the flaws in your body, if there are some, too.
Yeah, but if everybody's taking the same enhancers, don't they all cancel each other out, and now they're putting their danger in health?
Well, you know, yeah, I guess. You know, it's like when I was doing bodybuilding, I've had guys say to me, you know, you could have won that show if you'd just done a little stuff, or you could have placed higher. But see, again, of course, I didn't start competitive bodybuilding until I was in my 40s. So, which it replaced the rush I got from wrestling, I guess, when I did quit wrestling. But anyway, my common sense said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to spend $600 or $700 on these anabolics. I'm going to risk my health to win a $25 trophy. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, the stakes weren't, the risk or the reward didn't match the risk for me. As competitive as I am, as much as I like to be, in the top of whatever I do. But again, I've never been put in a position where $1 million is on the line. You know.
Mm-hmm. But and even if it was, I don't know if I'd do that. I just don't know.
Well, see, I don't know either because it's the wrong time and place for me.
Right. And I have this thing. I don't. It's crazy, but I want to live, and you know, as long as I can. If I could never.
But you see, we're talking about the HGH, the human growth hormone. You got to realize there are professional people my age that are going to Mexico,
right,
and going to these clinics. And you can ship so much of this across the border, and then it's just for personal use as long as that doctor has given you a script for it.
Mm-hmm.
And but now over and above that, you become a dealer, right? Then it becomes illegal. But the point is, these people aren't athletes at all, right? They're just doing it for the cosmetic effect,
right?
So it's our society today. It's not what I'm trying to say. It's not just athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, are you still there?
Yep.
Jump in, man.
Brian,
that's pretty much the whole deal with what I mentioned as far as why this is not. I mean, the thing is, we've got some wrestling names today, but I think there are going to be some very big names from the mainstream coming out. And once that happens, the wrestling stuff is going to just fall by the wayside. I mean, like, who is going to care about Shane Helms when Evander Holyfield, under a stage name, apparently got stuff delivered to his house? I mean, that's going to be a far bigger story. So
yeah.
Right, absolutely.
And the other thing, I mean, you mentioned it briefly, but to me, I mean, if you're heading towards the main event of WrestleMania and you're looking at a gigantic payoff and that sort of thing, and it's, you know, your chances are better getting on little stuff, to me that's one thing. If you're Joe Indie Worker and you're getting on it, or even worse, if you're Joe, I go to the gym, and you're getting on stuff, to me, why?
Yeah.
I have utterly no understanding of that.
I don't either. I don't either. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason for it. I agree with you 100% on that.
Absolutely. We're going to have to end here. Brian, I want to thank you for being on the show. Next time you come up to Indiana, we're going to take you over to Michigan City. Like we did on Friday before the show last weekend, and we're going to take you to the casino, my friend.
Really?
Yes.
And I want to go to the Brazilian Steakhouse, too. That's also on the list.
Awesome. So when are you coming back? August, I guess?
I think it'll probably be August, yeah.
All right.
I will try. Let me know the date, and I will try to put that on my calendar to be sure that I don't offend you in any way and show up for that.
That will rock. You know, we were sitting there, and I think at least twice or three times during the night, Brian just turned to me out of nowhere and goes, Man, I wish Les was here.
I did.
He did. I swear to God.
I swear to God, I did.
Had some very enjoyable social conversations over Coors Light in Vegas. So, we've been there, man. We've done it in Vegas, brother. We don't do it in Indiana.
That's right. Although you better be there next time.
All right. Well, if you're the champion, I rather than have my butt kicked, I'll try to show.
Brian, we'll see you again in a couple weeks. And good luck with Figure Four Wrestling. Figure4Online.com is the website, guys. It's the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Lots of good stuff over there. And, of course, you can catch Wrestling Observer live every Sunday at WrestlingObserver.com.
That's right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right. Brian, always a pleasure, buddy. Take care.
All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, our featured guest is going to be here from Wrestling Society X. And, of course, Ring of Honor, the lovely Lacey's going to be here. Wow. Can't wait.
Okay. Well, with that, we're taking a break.
I can't wait, Les. It's coming, guys. Here we go.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com. The internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young, and Les Thatcher. Back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, our featured guest. You've seen her on Wrestling Society Extra at WSExtra.com when they were in business, I guess. And Wrestling Society X, of course, Ring of Honor star, too, also. The lovely Lacey is with us. Lacey, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Lacey, I want to start this off. And when I heard that you were trained by Eddie Sharkey, then I knew you were trained the proper way. And so you've got an old-school foundation no matter what else.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yep. Eddie taught me the basics from his lawn chair.
What made you want to become a wrestler in the first place?
Well, I grew up around wrestling. My dad was good friends with Eddie Sharkey, so he always would go to the gym with the guys, all the Minnesota guys, and I grew up watching it with him. And my dad even ran a couple shows back in the day with Eddie. And so I just kind of grew up around it. And then throughout my teenage years, my early teenage years, I kind of quit watching it and got into more girly things. Mm-hmm. But I would go over to my dad's house and wrestling would be on, and I kind of got back into it probably around the age of 13 or 14 or so, and then I just got hooked. And I actually started looking into wrestling schools out east, and I had everything all ready. I was going to go to the Monster Factory, and my dad kind of realized I was serious, and he's like, no, you're not moving out east. And Eddie was still running a school back in Minnesota where I lived that I had no clue about. So my dad started taking me there when I just turned 17, and that's how it happened.
Starting at 17, so had you already graduated, or were you going to school and training at the same time?
Yep, actually, and I was going to the University of Minnesota through post-secondary education, so I was going to college and training, and I was still actually in dancing at the time, so I had quite a full plate. But
wow, you sure did. I trained Sharkboy, and he was going to University of Cincinnati when he started training with me, and I know that was a full load for him. And so, hey, my hat's off to you, because that's, I mean, to take the college courses be serious about the training, then throw the dancing in on top of that. Did you sleep at all, or did you ever go home? Did you just go?
Actually, I really never did sleep, and it's finally caught up with me, and now I'm an old woman, and I can't stay up much past midnight.
You got a birthday, what, next month you're going to be an old 24, right?
I know, almost a quarter of a century.
Wow. Scary.
Time flies. Time really does. Lacey, you are you still on Pennsylvania right now? Because I saw you at the Fight Sports Midwest show on Saturday, and we exchanged a few pleasantries and took pictures and blah 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 and all that good stuff. But you weren't on the car, so I was kind of surprised to see you there.
Yeah, actually, just a few weeks ago, I moved back to the Midwest. I'm now in good old Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ah, okay. But you made when you made your ring debut, you were in a handicap match, of course, that also had Daivari in it.
Yes.
From WWE. What was that like?
It was very, very, very nerve-wracking, and I really didn't want any parts of the match because I didn't feel like I was remotely ready to be in a match, but it was more or less just kind of a fluff match, I guess. It was myself, Sean Daivari, and another trainee at the time, Jake Ricker. We were all referees at this place we used to run shows at, and Lenny Lane was always picking on the referees, so we had this handicap match against Lenny Lane. And looking back on it, I mean, it's a good experience for your first match, obviously, to be in there with someone who's as experienced as Lenny. So, I mean, it was a good time, but I was like, I don't want any parts of this. I have no business wrestling, but here's a couple spots, and it was fun.
This had been, you hadn't been training for very long when you did this.
No, I can't. My actual first singles match was in August of 2000. I started training in May of 2000.
Right.
So that handicap match was somewhere in between there. I can't remember exactly when.
So that would be pretty scary, yeah.
You know, I was looking through some of the history on your career, and I see where you've worked with Mercedes Martinez. My God, I think she's one of the best girls in the business. I really do.
Yes, I have tons of respect for Mercedes. She was I always wanted to wrestle her, and when I finally got to wrestle her, it was amazing. Always have a good time with her.
First time I saw her work up in New England, I saw her throw that right hand. I said, all right, I like her. Doc, I don't know if you've ever seen her. Well, you might
have seen her.
On the Shimmer tapes.
Yeah, she came. She did a couple IWA Mid-South shots, and she was on Shimmer.
She's a larger version of Jazz, I think. She works more like a guy than she does a girl.
Yeah.
Have you worked Shimmer too, Lacey?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I've seen some of their tapes, and I've worked with Melissa before, And I think that's some of the best girl wrestling I've seen, honestly. So you're right there in the mix of the best. One question I want to ask: who came up with the name of the Minnesota Home Wrecking Crew?
That would be Dave Prazak.
That sounds like something Dave Prazak would come up with. But that's pretty cool. I like that. You were, of course, tag team partners with Rain as the Minnesota Home Wrecking Crew. And I guess I just heard this, but some people still confuse you with Rain sometimes. They think you guys kind of look alike.
Just, we do a little. We're very weird. Even living on opposite sides of the country, we'll go shopping and we'll buy the same clothes and we get our hair done the same, and it's very, very creepy.
are you still good friends with Rain?
Absolutely. She is my best friend. The love of my life.
Who are some of your favorites to work with in the Midwest, besides Rain, of course?
One of the... really started branching out with Rain. We started driving more around to Wisconsin and then to IWA in Kentucky and whatnot. And I started working with Mickey Knuckles there and Daisy Hayes and also Mischief. And so those were some of the first outside girls outside of Minnesota I got to work with. And I love working with all of them. And, I really can't. All the Midwest girls are really great to work with, actually. So.
did you get to work with Cheerleader Melissa at some point?
I have had a tag match with her, and I think a six-way or something like that, but I've never had a singles match with her yet.
Well, next off, you moved into Ring of Honor, of course, which is pretty good because you got there, I would say maybe 3 years after your debut.
Mm-hmm.
You started out with Ring of Honor. You were feuding with Becky Bayless.
Yes.
And Well, I guess...
Is there an inside joke that you two are starting to share with me? What?
No. Okay. Tell us about this angle with the Special K.
Everyone needs to weasel their way into the company somehow, and I found the Special K guys, and I weaseled my way in there and kicked Becky out, and all was taken care of. I sealed my spot, got rid of the Special K guys, and I'm on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely, and then you started Lacey's Angels.
Yes.
The whole thing with Jacobs and Cabana's a crazy man.
I love this. I'm going to get to this.
I just got to it, but I want to know what's it like working. I trained BJ. I start from the get go. So what's it like working with BJ?
Well, BJ is completely crazy, and he'll do anything in that ring. So he's a little bit scary sometimes, but him and Jacobs have a pretty big match coming up here in the next couple weeks, and hopefully he can be taken care of once and for all. I'm not sure what he was thinking leaving Lacey's Angels, since it was the best thing that ever happened to him. But,
yeah, what's
the
matter with that guy? Yeah.
Well, we'll take care of it, I think.
and the whole thing, you toy with poor Jimmy's emotions, do you not?
I certainly do not.
I love this whole thing about the whole angle where Jimmy's in love with you, and of course he writes the songs for you and does the music videos, which actually get stuck in my head. And you can see these at I believe it's ROHvideos.com. They're still probably up there. The Ballad of Lacey, of course, and Jimmy's kind of pretty emo anyway in real life. He does wear the eyeliner and stuff like that anyway. But it's just him, like, you know, with candles and stuff, and he's singing about Lacey, and I love this. I love this whole thing, you know, and the whole storyline. It really gave the story a boost, I think, in my opinion. And of course, we had Gabe Sapolsky on not too long ago, and he said these were gold. And he doesn't want to overdo them, but they were gold, you know.
What are your you've done a lot in a short period of time, and you've worked with in terms of girls, a good cross section. You've been involved to me, Ring of Honor is one of my favorite promotions over the last few years for a lot of reasons, cuz Gabe does a lot more old school type booking. But what's in the future? I mean, in terms of something you haven't done, what would you like to do? What are your goals that you haven't already accomplished?
Well, I just recently was able to go over to Europe and wrestle, which was always a huge goal of mine. So I would definitely love to go back to Europe and wrestle some more places and spend some more time there. And, of course, going to Japan would be something I'd like to do in the future. I graduated college a couple years ago, and I've been kind of moving around, and I've had jobs, and so it's been difficult to secure some overseas travel with my schedule, but hopefully in the future here we can make some things work.
You know, sadly enough, the women's thing in Japan has kind of died off a little bit. I know a few years, well, we're talking about Melissa. She's been over there quite a few times, but that was, I mean, that would have been a tremendous thing a couple years ago. With that, with what was I trying to think of the name of the all-girl promotion that they that was
Arcion?
Yeah, that was so red hot. But yeah, that's, you know, that's one good thing about our business is you get to travel and somebody else pays for it. That's
if you're lucky.
Yes,
if you're lucky. Yes. We got some questions in the chat room. Stevie J wants to know if they were ever going to do an angle with you and Jacobs in Wrestling Society X, or was that something that they weren't even considering?
I'm really not sure about that, but I know there were plans to have the women's division work in there in some time eventually. So who knows what could happen in the future with all those guys. Maybe something good will come of it, and we can all progress past season
one. Have you heard any more on the future of Wrestling Society X?
No, I actually haven't. I know that MTV itself had some huge problems, I guess. I'm not really sure, talking to some of my friends in the music industry, but I know they got rid of a ton of people at MTV in general.
Right.
And some of those people included the people who were responsible for Wrestling Society X and its scheduling. And so I know things are just kind of messed up at MTV in general right now, and I'm really not sure. We get different messages all the time, and I'm not really sure. As of right now, we still have a contract, so that's really all I know.
Right. One of the reasons we put you on this date is because tonight was supposed to be the airing of the series finale of Wrestling Society X, and MTV took that off the schedule. They're not going to show it tonight, and we don't know when they're going to show it. Did the news of Wrestling Society X being canceled did that hit you hard?
I guess not really, because I was never certain what was going to happen to begin with. It was something completely different and completely new, and MTV is, they weren't necessarily going after a wrestling demographic is what they kept saying. They were going after their MTV audience. So I don't know, I wasn't thinking of it as something like a WWE or a TNA or anything like that. I was just kind of thinking of it as a TV show that they were going to try out, and there was really no guarantees, but I mean, everyone got paid for doing their work for the first season, and if it doesn't go much past that, you know, that's sad, and it gave a lot of people a lot of opportunities. But I don't know, it wasn't anything I was expecting to really last forever. So, but it would definitely be nice to have some more places to work and, you know, fresh faces on TV. So hopefully something will come of it.
Absolutely, hopefully, and I don't know what the, I guess they don't know what the status is on the series finale of that show, but, you know, I enjoyed the Wrestling Society Extra on Wrestling X, WSExtra.com, excuse me.
WSX.MTV.com.
Right, where you guys, where you hosted the show, and they showed all the matches in their entirety. There wasn't so much editing on them, and they were really good. I enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed the show on MTV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, being only a half-hour show, it's kind of funny because actually there ended up being more wrestling in a half-hour show than on some hour-long wrestling shows that are on TV these days. But the extra half-hour online, I think, was really great because it gave obviously a lot more time for different matches, and some of the matches were able to be longer than 3 minutes or so, and there didn't have to be as much editing and things like that. So I think, unfortunately, it's not, you know, obviously not as many people can go online and go watch if they have slower internet connections or whatnot, but it's definitely, you know, a continuation. It's basically been an hour-long program with a lot more wrestling.
Hosting a show is a little different than wrestling on one, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. You don't have to beat up your body. It's quite nice.
Mitty asks, what's your favorite Jimmy Jacobs music video?
Well, I don't really have a favorite. They need to go away. He needs to focus on wrestling. That's all I have to say. If he never makes another one, it's not too soon.
Reptile says, what do you see in the future with Shimmer?
Well, I think that I don't think Shimmer's going anywhere anytime soon, which is good. The DVD sales have been doing well, and each show brings a bigger and bigger crowd into the building. And I think people are starting to realize that women's wrestling can be respected, and it's not just a joke. It's not just TNA and horrible attempts at wrestling. I think it's just going to grow, and hopefully it will show the public more and more that, you know, women's wrestling can be taken seriously, and it can be just as entertaining as the guys' wrestling. And I just hope it keeps growing and keeps getting bigger.
Stevie J says, what was your all-time favorite match in Ring of Honor that you were in or otherwise?
Well, I actually had a lot of fun. I just had a street fight. It was myself and Jimmy Jacobs and Adam Pearce against Daisy Hayes, BJ Whitmer, and Colt Cabana. And that was the first real street fight I'd ever been in, and that was a ton of fun. So I think right now that probably is my favorite match I've had there.
Rayel says, what are your thoughts on April Hunter and Talia Madison?
I've worked both of them, and I heard some stories about April that she's hard to work with and whatnot, but I always had a good time wrestling with her in the ring. I got to actually work her over in Germany, and that was a good time. And I don't know, I always have a good time working with both of them. I've only wrestled Talia once, but it was a fun match, and yeah.
Etna fan, he says, what are your favorite Joshi wrestlers?
Joshi. Yeah. Unfortunately, much like Daisy Hayes always gets flack for not knowing her Japanese women's wrestlers, I'm going to have to give the same answer. I watched a lot of Manami Toyota back in the day when I lived with Dave Prazak, but since then my Japanese wrestling collection has gone to pretty much zero after moving so many times, so I'm not quite up to speed. But Manami Toyota was always favorite.
In the past?
Yes.
Yeah. Lacey, I want to thank you for being on. Of course, you've got your own website right now. It's at www.thelovelylacey.com. And your MySpace is...
I don't have a... Mine's just numbers, so you can find the link on my website, though.
Awesome. Check it out at thelovelylacey.com. Lacey, I want to thank you for being on the program. Good luck with Ring of Honor and with everything.
And Lacey, just quit messing with that poor Jimmy Jacobs head.
Yeah,
I really have no idea what you're talking about. I just want him to win matches. I just keep telling him to win matches. That's all I ask.
Leave that man alone.
Good luck to you, kid. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. The lovely Lacey here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. I left a few minutes left in the show because I wanted to talk to you about a message board post that I had seen today. And basically, I'm not really going to say where it came from or anything, but this message board post was written by a man who was, he's sort of in the local scene, okay?
Uh-huh.
Did a hotline, a website dedicated to wrestling and stuff like this. I don't know what really set this guy off, but he went on this long rant about how wrestlers are calling these, they call their fans marks. And in sort of a derogatory way. And he says, basically his point was, you know, what other sport is there where, you know, the wrestlers are basically, you know, insulting and degrading the fans that, you know, support them and come out and see them and things like that. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this and this whole thing with the marks.
You know what? To me, I don't, well, you don't hear me say mark a lot.
No.
But it's an old carny term.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think a lot of guys in the business just use it as a generalization, meaning that someone, for the most part, that isn't in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I say isn't in the business, I mean between the ropes. I'm not talking about ring announcer. You know, or I'm not talking about somebody that might, run a message board or somebody that, you know, for example, you could say, well, Doc Young's a mark. That's not necessarily derogatory or insulting. It just means he's not a wrestler. You know, that's what, but I don't use the terms much. And marks were people that, for the most part, that weren't. The carnies used it. If you were a mark, we were fleecing you, right? We were setting you up to. When I say fleecing, you taking your money,
right?
You know, you go up to the ball throw, right, where you knock the milk bottles over, and well, that's where the Kiazani Leah's language, Kiazami, is in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you tease on Kiazani, the P is evil, D is don't know, we is not your C is saying.
Right.
What I said was the people don't know what you're saying if you're speaking carny.
Right.
But anyway, you and I could talk in that language in front of the marks.
And without them knowing what you're talking about.
Yes, and I could come up and start winning big stuffed animals, and so that would bring the locals in to win for their girls, and of course they weren't going to because I knew where to hit the milk bottles for the, you know, and that's on and on and on. It's just a word.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, I don't know, are there marks? I've heard Jimmy Cornette and I both have said, we're marks for this business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why, you know, why I was saying earlier about how I want, I'm a mark for the business. I'm not a mark for me. Don't get me wrong, but I'm a mark for the business. I still love the business. I understand it completely. Believe me, maybe more than I should sometimes, but I think that's the people that are honestly extremely creative within it and understand it are marks for it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so immersed. Cornette's a mark for the business.
Right.
Paul Heyman is a mark for the business. Harley Race is a mark for the business. But it's just a general. It's a term.
But I guess it's getting to be sort of like you used to say. Midgets, but now you have to say little people, or they'll get offended. And Marx wasn't, I guess, meant to be that way. It was meant to just signify.
Well, you know, what it meant 50 years, 60 years ago, of course, I mean, that's like the word gay meant you were happy a long time ago, right?
Right, right.
Now it means someone is of their sexual orientation. I mean, that's, you know, words. There's an old song called Ball in the Jack, right, which was a dance. Now, if I say, are you balling, we aren't talking about dancing, are we?
Right.
Right? I mean, so it's just, it's a word, you know. But if people say, you know, I mark out for people. People mark out for me. I don't think anybody should, you know, get overly crazy about it. Although, I guess if I were to, you know, it's like when somebody sits down and tries to get over with me, wink, wink, I know what it's all about, you know, because I read this book or I'm on this website or I read Figure Four Weekly or The Observer or something.
Right.
Then, yes, they're a mark in the term of they're dumb. You know? No, I mean.
So it has two connotations.
Let me say this. You can. This may be the only business that people, they don't participate in, but they think they know more about than the people actually working in it.
Okay.
And I don't know why that is. I don't have a clue. I've been trying to figure it out all my life. But, hey, you know, there's guys saying, hey, I've watched wrestling tapes a lot, so I want to be a wrestler. That's like me saying I've been watching football and going down here to Paul Brown Stadium and telling Marvin Lewis, the head coach of the Bengals, that I want to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nuts? If you have no practical experience, why would you want to do that?
Right.
You know. So I think you, now in that particular term, the word mark means that they're dumb. Yes, because they're not. You know, it's like I sit and watch. I've been watching doctor movies, doctor TV series since Ben Casey back in the 50s on black and white TV. Will you allow me to do brain surgery on you?
No,
I don't think so.
Right.
And I'm not unless you are totally stupid and need brain surgery. But yet somebody will tell me that they understand as much. They understand my business like I understand my business.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Right.
I guarantee friggin' it. Okay.
But I guess that's where he gets it from, is that connotation of it. And
well,
I guess,
see, now, if this person, and I don't know who this person is, and if I'm insulting this person, whoever it happens to be, I'm sincerely sorry. But if they walk up to Ric Flair and start talking to him like they're one of the boys, then they're a mark.
Okay.
because they're not. I mean, I played high school basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if Larry Bird comes into the room, I am going to mark out.
Mm-hmm.
If Bill Russell comes, I'm going to mark out. But I'm not going to sit down and say, hey, Bill, I played ball too. Wait a minute, this guy's got 12 championships, or 10, whatever it is, world championships with the Celtics, and I'm going to sit down and try to talk on his level? Not unless I'm on drugs,
right?
You know, some kind of hallucinogenics, for Christ's sake. No. So, yes, in that respect, I would be a mark.
Okay.
So if you are trying to sit and tell me you know exactly what it's like to go into the ring and try to call it on the fly, shut up, okay? Because you don't know.
I know, and going back to Carney speak, I know that some indie guys still speak in Carney. Do they still, on the professional level, speak Carney in
you
the
know
ring?
What? There's a lot of the pros that don't, you know, when my kids, a lot of them picked it up from me. But the funny thing was, when I first started training guys, I could talk to some of the guys from my generation who would stop by, and my kids just—they all stand over their mouth. I go looking at me like, "What is he talking about?" You know.
Right.
But now you hear rappers talking Carney.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I, you know, it's. I'll tell you a funny, a real quick funny story. I know we got to get off the air. When I was single years ago, I was dating a young lady who worked for a finance company, and I met her and two people from her office for drinks one evening, and we're sitting in a lounge, and it was a guy and another girl from the office, and all of a sudden, the girl I was dating, and I mean, we've been dating for a while, her and the other girl start talking Carney to each other, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, this was back in the 70s now. And so finally, I said, oh, Yuzu Spizzy Kizarni. And they looked at me and their mouth dropped open. What did you learn? I said, I didn't know anybody spoke about the, you know, carnival people and wrestlers. But they used it in their office so they could pass. I mean, they didn't sit and have long, lengthy conversations, obviously, in front of, potential people borrowing money, but customers, whatever you want to call them, but they used it to pass things back and forth. Like, I guess if you weren't a good risk, they could tell the other lady in front of you or the other person. So,
mm-hmm. And they use this to call spots in the ring.
Oh yeah, well, you know, but yeah, we used to. Well, you can talk in front of people too.
Right.
Know? Yeah, but well, yeah. You now there was a few of the older guys of the generation before me that could double speak it. I mean, double it, right?
Yeah.
Kizzy is Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead of just Kizarni, it was Kizzy is Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dizzy is Ock. Now try that and try it fast.
I can't do it fast.
I can say a word or two, but I mean, for me to run a conversation like
right.
And I've gotten to where I'm not that proficient with regular Carney now, simply because I don't use it that much anymore.
Right.
Know? I mean, back in the day, it was, you know, almost every day you would end up speaking something, you know. But back to the thing about Mark, yeah, it's a term that means whatever it means at that particular time, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, yeah, if you're going to sit down and want to talk to me like, yeah, well, you and I both know what it's like to be in a ring. No, we don't, Doc. You're friggin' Mark. Okay?
Right.
No, we don't know. Okay? But would I mark out for Larry Bird? You bet your butt I would, man. I'm a big Celtics fan and a Bird fan, so yes.
So I guess the point is loosen up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't take – it's what's the old saying? As a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, hey, whatever.
And that's a good place to end. We're going to – we got to get out of here, guys. Catch us next Tuesday from 8 to 10. We've got Sean Oliver for WrestlingCommentaries.com.
Yeah, which is a new and unusual site.
It's a great little concept, and we're going to explain it all to you next week.
Yeah.
Where Sean Oliver is going to be here, of course, and we've got James Gutman from Wrestling Insanity. He's going to be here.
Yes.
Yes. So tune in next Tuesday, 8 to 10, guys. Doc Young and Les Thatcher, out.